All right, everybody, it is 9:30. It's been a while since we've seen each other at 9:30, but you're here, I'm here, and we're going to go ahead and start our time together. I told Dale, I said, I will finish at 10 after 10. So, we've got, that's right. I said, I will finish at 10 after 10 if you give me the full 5-minute warning bell. So, Bill, full 5-minute warning bell. 10:05, 10:10. All right. Hopefully no one has cut those bell lines to the auditorium. Oh, well, then all right. Okay, so I wanted to start our time and just share announcements and prayer requests this morning so we can spend some time with that together. So what do we need to lift up or what do we need to remember? Okay.
Just prayers that I quit being stubborn and actually make time to go to the doctor instead of having the excuse of no time to go to the doctor.
Okay. Kathy? Jason Sanchez? Okay. All right, Donna?
My oldest daughter, Shauna, had her surgery on her thyroid, and she's doing really well. They took one part of her thyroid out, and they're working on the other one, and they're doing the biopsies on it to see how it all is.
Okay.
They did well.
Okay. Good deal. Patty?
I'm moving around better, and I have a whole lot less pain, but I'm still having some back problems.
Okay.
But it's slowly getting better, so that's...
Charlie?
Zachary and Haley's baby was born yesterday, about midnight, practically yesterday. His name is Benjamin Wade. I don't know how big he was. I don't know how much he weighs. I know that he and Haley are both doing okay, but because of circumstances, the family has been asked not to contact him. So... I know that he's okay, and I know his name, that's
better. Okay. All right. Okay. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer and lift these up. Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful to be here this morning. Thank you for giving us this time together. I pray that sharing our lives and lifting up our concerns to you will strengthen us, will knit us closer to one another. Father, I pray that this time together, as we study your word, will strengthen and encourage us to be faithful to you in all things. Father, we ask your blessings to be upon the body here at Sunrise. We pray that we will walk by faith, that we will trust you each and every day, that we will know that you are greater than what we experience in this world. Father, we thank you for the gift of today. And as we celebrate it, may we lift our voices high together to you. May we offer you our spiritual sacrifices. A song that comes from a heart that has been forgiven and redeemed. Heavenly Father, today we lift up Scotty. We pray that you be with him, that you provide him healing in his back. We pray that he will get the help that he needs. We pray that he will make good decisions. And well, we ask that you just alleviate his pain. Heavenly Father, we lift up Jason, and we ask for healing this morning. We pray that you be with him and his family. Keep them close to you. Let them trust you in all things. And we ask for healing in his lungs. Father, we are grateful that Shauna's surgery went well. Thank you for watching over that, taking care of her. And we just pray that her tests and her results will all be good. And we just pray that that her health will be strong, and that her heart will grow closer to you. Father, we're grateful that Patty's here, so we are thankful for the relief that she has experienced, but we also continue to pray that you give her strength and healing. We pray that you work in her back for good, that you provide what she needs, and just let her have the strength necessary to do the things that she needs to do. Father, we are grateful, and we just thank you that Benjamin was born well. We are grateful that everyone is healthy. And we just pray that you be with Charlie's family right now. Father, we just pray that your love and your peace will shine through. We pray that you mend what may be broken. Father, we are grateful that Tony is with us, and we thank you for seeing him through, and we're grateful that he continues to improve. And we just pray that you give him his strength back. Father, we love you so much. We love you so much because you have done everything for us. You take care of our needs. You get us through each day. You never leave us alone. You are always right there. We thank you for your presence, for your comfort, and for your guidance. Father, we offer these things, our prayers, our lives, and our souls. We offer them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, well, this series of lessons that we are going to do is we're going to take a look at lessons in leadership. We are, when we're through with this, the goal is to be able to look at our elders and deacons and figure out what we need to do, who we need to replace. Dale is ready to retire as an elder at Sunrise. And so what I wanted us to do with our study is to make sure that we have a good biblical understanding about leadership. And so each Sunday, we're going to take a look at leadership and what it should do for the church. And then we're also going to talk about leaders themselves and what kind of people they need to be, and what kind of things will be expected from them, and what kind of challenges they will face. So, calling it lessons in leadership, but that's where we're going for our leadership here, and also for those that will lead, and not just those that will lead here at Sunrise, but all of us in the areas of life that we are given responsibility and leadership opportunities. We can all grow in our own personal leadership. So I hope to capture those two things. All right, let's turn over to Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18. In Exodus chapter 18, God has brought his people out of Egypt. They've come out into the wilderness. He's providing for them. He's feeding for them. He's watering them. He is taking care of them. And not too long after this, Moses gets a visit from his father-in-law. And his father-in-law comes to really bring his family back to him and to check on them and see how they're doing and to hear about everything that's been going on, really to hear about this amazing story of what God has done for them. So I'd like for us to, really the first half of the chapter is kind of setting it all up. The second half of the chapter, we're really going to learn something about leadership. But I do want us to hear this story. So I'm going to ask for readers. Let's see, we're going to go 1 through 12. So Scotty's going to go 1 through 6. And then, all right, Brooks, if you'll go 7 through 12. Yeah, one more.
And when he sent word to Moses, "I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her." Moses went out to meet it.
Yes. Okay. All right. So Jethro shows up. He brings Moses' wife. He brings the boys. And he says, you know, you're out. You're safe. So here's your family. And they greet each other. They share their stories with one another. And it's been a while since they've seen each other. And a lot has happened. And a lot has happened. And I love, this is not really about leadership, but one of the things that just really jumped out at me was verse 8. Because they had gone through and were still going through hardships, and yet Moses was careful that in the story, he was sharing how God had delivered them. And I think that is so important because you and I, all of us, We share our lives with each other. We share hardships with each other. We share troubles with each other. And it says all the hardship that had come upon them in the way and how the Lord had delivered them. Because it is the story of how God had delivered them that really affected Jethro. I mean, Jethro offers a sacrifice. He says, God is good. Look at this. And so when you and I face difficulty, when you and I face trouble, the end of the story is how God delivers us. The middle of the story, the beginning of the story, it may start with hardship, it may start with suffering, it may start with pain, but the end of the story is always God delivers. And that is a powerful thing. If you and I will do that one thing in our lives, it's going to make a big difference in our conversations with other people. If you and I will do that on a regular basis with believers and non-believers alike, that is a wonderful witness that other people get to hear. Well, wait a minute. You were, the last time we talked, you were going through such a difficult way. I was. And look how God has delivered. Look how God has provided. Look how God has taken care. God is good. So, let's continue on. Let's continue on. Starting in verse 13. I'll take two more. All right, Chester, 13 through 20. And Matt, if you'll go 21 to the end of the chapter. Okay, thank you guys. All right, so what is the problem? What is the problem as Jethro notices it? What is the problem that he addresses for Moses? He's doing it all by himself. He's doing it all by himself. He says, Moses, this is not good. This is not good. You are carrying this weight. You are carrying this weight. And he says, what's it going to do to Moses? This is going to wear you out. And what's it going to do for the people? Wear them out too? So here's Moses. They got him out in the wilderness. And all day long he'd sit there and the line. You can just imagine the mass of people. Anyone that had any problem, any issue, anything are lined up for their chance to talk to Moses, to hear from Moses, to hear a word, to take a request to God, to settle a problem that they have, which is kind of interesting because at this point it's not like, I mean, they're not in the promised land, so it'd be difficult to have land disputes and God's just providing enough food for each day in the morning. So you wonder, and yet people are still finding a way to have problems, right? They're still having issues. And Moses is sitting there doing this, and his father-in-law is looking at this going, Moses, You can't do this alone. So why is that such an important lesson for us to understand for leadership for the local congregation, for leadership in the church? Why is it so important that we understand it should not be done alone? Yeah. Yeah, when you get burned out as a leader, you just want to go. You just want to go. It's, boy, I don't know if you've seen the reports. Ministers are leaving. They're getting out. I'll be honest with you. Was that last year? Last year was heavy. It was heavy. It was a lot. And so Jethro says to Moses, look, you can't do this by yourself. You have got to have other people helping you. This is a fantastic lesson for our shepherds and our deacons and our minister. We have got to work together. We have got to work together. Because it's not meant to be for either me or one shepherd or just a couple. It's meant for the leadership to bear together. It's good for the whole body. It's good for the whole body. So, he says, Moses said, I'm inquiring of God. I'm settling disputes. I'm sharing with them the rules of God. And so, he says, well, you're going to wear yourself out. The people are going to get worn out. So, you need to find. And what does he look for? What are the qualifications that Jethro tells him to look for? Okay, honest. Fair. Able, did I hear able? Able men who fear God. Able men who fear God. I think that's a pretty excellent description. They're able to do the work. They fear God. And they're honest in their dealings with people. That's a pretty good description that'd make a pretty good leader, wouldn't it? They're able to do the job. They fear God and they're honest. So he says, all right, what you need to do is you need to set these leaders of smaller numbers and they'll settle the disputes. Share the burden of leadership so you don't get burned out. So if we can translate the greater lessons of leadership that we see in Jethro's advice to Moses, what do you think we can take for our setting? What do you think we're supposed to learn or apply to how our shepherds are going to lead, how our deacons are going to serve? Okay. Actually sharing the responsibility. Yeah, delegating the work. I think that's a big lesson what Jethro is sharing with Moses. What else? Okay. Yeah. Make sure that leadership knows that it's okay to share the burden. Yeah, that's good. Because no one else is going to do it, and I'll take care of it. I'll take care of that too.
We tend to do that rather than saying, hey, will you carry this one for me? Or will you carry this one for me? Or can y'all team up together and carry this one for me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the church in Acts is going through the same thing. We were in chapter 6. The elders said, choose six people. Pretty much they needed to attend to this ministry and prayer.
Yeah. Not everybody has to be everything to everybody. Right? But we get in our minds, don't we, sometimes, the ideas of what a person should be or what a person should be doing. Isn't that interesting that you and I are very quick to come up with job descriptions for everyone else but ourselves? We're quick to that, aren't we? Boy, someone should really do something about that. Yeah, someone should. Someone should.
I would say, in addition, not only, be okay with, asking for help, but even trustworthy part-time men, once you've gotten the help, be okay with that help you've gotten and believe. They're going to take care of it when you work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, what benefit do you think it is for God's people, for just like Moses was counseled to do by his father-in-law, just like the apostles did in Acts. What benefit do you think that does for God's people, where the person whose responsibility it is to be focused on God's word and God's will is not focused on all of the other details that other people can take care of? How's that going to benefit the body? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Kathy, was that
involvement?
Getting more people involved? Okay. When we have something to do, when we have a job to do, we are more invested, are we not? Yeah. I mean, it takes us from spectating to being responsible. Absolutely, and we're all members of the same body, right? We're not going to get into every lesson this morning. We will get to those other lessons. But absolutely, every part of the body needs to better understand not only their own role in the body, but how do we use those gifts in the body?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you know this. I hope you know this inherently at whatever work you do or wherever you find yourself on the chain of command. But you know the difference in something that happens or is said that needs to be taken higher or just needs to stop with you, right? You know this concept. If you're one at your work and you spend every interaction with your supervisor of complaining about little stuff that you can take care of yourself, your supervisor's not thinking too much of you, are they? No, that's what I hired you for. Take care of that, right? If something's under your responsibility, then be responsible for it. I think that's a really great point. There you go.
Kind of like with your kids, you know, when they're doing stuff, there's some things you kind of guide them and help them think through that problem rather than telling them how to solve it. And then later on, they don't have that problem. Now their small problem is something that used to have been a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a level of growth that comes inherently with that.
Yeah. Yeah. What, and this, I've been praying about this for a very long time, and two things I wanted to share with you. Here's what God's speaking to me, that my hope is that whoever are our shepherds, when we get through all this process, my hope is that our elders will be responsible for specific families in the body. That if we have shepherds that know a specific number of families in the body, then little things are less likely to become big things. If a shepherd is responsible to, let's just say four families, and every week that family got a check-in, a text, a call, a contact of, hey, what's up? What are we praying for? How are we doing? Do you need anything? And so I think our shepherds could really shepherd shepherd the body in that way of keeping contact with a small part of the body. And then if something is becoming larger, well, then you have your shepherds come together and they say, okay, well, we need to pray about this. Do we need to act on this? I think that's something that our shepherds can really take from this lesson. Also, with our deacons, whoever our deacons will be after this, I hope that our deacons will have specific ministry responsibilities. Specific ministry responsibilities. Because I know that if you are, just like we've already said, if we are working with our gifts, we're going to be, number one, more excited about our work. And number two, we're going to do a better job of it. Now, that doesn't mean that we just divide everything up in the church and say, well, you're in charge of this, and you're in charge of this, and you're in charge of this, and we can't help each other. I mean, Tony's already said, look, again, the whole point of this story was, if the burden gets too great, then call some help. Get somebody to help. However, if I know that a certain specific someone is responsible for this ministry in the church, well, then that's where I'm going to go. That's where I'm going to go. I'm not going to ask, because this is not very helpful, and you know this. It's not very helpful if I am noticing a problem or something that needs to be done better or something that needs work on. It doesn't do the body any good if I just start going down the pews. Hey, have you noticed? Who's in charge of that? Hey, have you noticed this isn't going right? Who's in charge of that? Hey, what have you noticed that there's a problem here? And so now I've just made my way through the body, pointing out there's a problem, and I haven't got to the person that is the first line of defense and fixing that problem. So now we just become, yeah, we're just talking about the problem. Just talking about the problem. Yeah.
And one of two things comes from that. It either gets done or they put it out in their hands.
I hear much fewer about problems these days, Tony. And Tony's not the first one. I did that to Lynn. Oh, help me out. Lynn. Thank you. Lynn LaFon, one of our members a few years ago. And he came to me, and I hadn't been here that long. And he came to me back in the foyer one day, and he said, Michael, there's a problem. I think we oughta. And I said, amen, brother. You're in charge. Well, no, that's not what I meant. I said, well, higher power speaking. The Holy Spirit's coming right to you and telling you we're not doing something right. And so I'm just letting you know, if the Holy Spirit's going to give you that message, then God's going to empower you to be a part of the solution. He did. He worked hard, and he got it going in a better direction. And then he told everybody around him, don't tell Michael there's a problem. Just keep it to yourself, because he'll make you fix it. So yeah, but I am a strong believer in that. I am a strong believer. The Holy Spirit's not just speaking to me. It better not be, because if it is, if I'm the only one that's hearing God, then we're in trouble. We're in trouble. So if God's putting something on your heart, then be a part of the solution. Be a part of the solution. And you may need help with it. That's okay. But you don't just say, well, I got this complaint, dump it in their lap. I got this problem, dump it in their lap. No. Figure out, God, what do I need to be doing about this? Because I promise you that, fruit inspection is less of a spiritual gift than we give it credit for. But that's, sometimes we fall into that trap, don't we? Oh, my spiritual gift is criticism. What? No, that doesn't make the body work well. You had something?
I wanted to give the
Right?
So
it was a good thing during crisis mode, but it would be a good thing to continue. Excellent. Excellent. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, for our current and future leaders, for any of us in positions of leadership. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, we see the transition between Moses and Joshua. Moses is done with his service. And he paints it a little lighter, but God has told him, you're not leading into the promised land. So he appoints Joshua, and I want us to hear what he says. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 1. Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I'm 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. All right, so Moses is getting Joshua ready. He's getting Israel ready. And he speaks right to this new young leader. And he says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because Joshua is the most powerful person in the land, because Joshua has more gifts than anyone around him? We don't know. But what we do know is that Joshua was one of the spies sent into the promised land. And when Joshua comes back, what was his message to everybody? Let's go. It is awesome! 10 of them said, can't do it. We'll die. Joshua had faith in God. He trusted God enough that if God's going to bring me to this door right here, then God's going to give me the strength to go through it. Now, church, that's for all of us. If God brings us to a position, then God will strengthen us to fulfill our work. If God brings us to a ministry, then God will give us His Spirit to do that ministry well. If God brings us to an opportunity, then God will lead us through that opportunity. God is with us. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. God is with us. And he says, in fact, Jesus would echo this, right? When he's going back to heaven, I will not leave you alone. You are not alone. So, there will be times for those that are in positions of leadership here at Sunrise and those who will join us in positions of leadership, there will be times when you feel alone. It's not true. It's not true. Now, whether you're a leader or not, just a believer and a member of the body, there are times when we all feel alone. It's not true. It is not true. God's promise is eternal. He will not leave us alone. So let's trust that. Let's know that. Let's believe that. Because if God is with us, then we will get through whatever he puts in front of us. So thank you so much for your sharing. I'm looking forward to this study because I've been sitting on it for a long time, and I'm ready to share it and just to see what God does for us into the future. So I'm glad you were here today. Glad you were here. Good to be here.